You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Plenty still to come on First Take. Stephen's A-list top five teams in the NFL right now. Just a bit. Jeff Saturday will be back for that. Plus, how great would LeBron have been as an NFL player? Our guys could not disagree more. Stay tuned for that one. But how about them Cowboys? Cowboys looking good. Jerry's team blowing out the Eagles last night, and that offense looked nearly unstoppable. Dak throwing three touchdowns and Zeke adding two more. Mina Kimes joining the conversation. Good morning, Mina. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me back.
Of course. Stephen A., I'm going to start with you. Are the Cowboys a top three NFC team?
Right now, based on the way Tom Brady and them looked last, you know, this past Sunday against the Rams, based on the way the Rams are looking right now, we see that bad man Aaron Rodgers, but the Cowboys, I got to give them some props for the moment. It won't last. I mean, don't worry about that. It will not last, okay? But for the moment in time, for this moment in time early in the season, before dudes get their legs under them, before everybody sits and amped it up a little bit, right now in the NFC, considering how they looked against Tampa and then they beat the Chargers and then they manhandled the Philadelphia Eagles the way you're supposed to manhandle an inferior team. Mina, Keyshawn, I could give them top three in the NFC for week three. I mean, congratulations. I mean, it's just so touching that the Cowboys are a top three team in week three in the NFC. All right, so what?
But based on the schedule going down, you're going to be clapping for a few weeks, buddy.
No, I ain't going to clap.
You're going to be clapping for a few weeks because they're going to stay right there, Mina. I don't see them going anywhere. I see the defense continuing to get better, the offense settling in. At some point, the right side offensive line will be intact when Lyle Collins comes back. So unless injuries derail them, Stephen A., you're going to be eating a lot of crow, buddy.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
So I got the Bucs and the Rams still at the top. I know the Bucs just lost. And then I believe the Dallas Cowboys are the third best team right now, and I'm with you, Stephen A., right now. I think the Packers are the better team in January. Key, you talked about Collins coming back, Gallup. Well, the Packers are going to eventually get David Bakhtiari back, which I would argue, we don't talk about left tackles enough, one of the biggest losses in the NFL. If you throw out week one, in which really everything went wrong for Green Bay and they kind of imploded, they've been the best offense in the NFL over the last 2 weeks by expected points added. I think they have a better head coach than Dallas, and that is going to matter a great deal come playoff times. I mean, shoot, it's their old head coach. He is gone for a reason. Frankly, I do not trust Mike McCarthy with this team. I love the Dallas offense. Clearly, this defense is improved. But if we're looking at quarterback, head coach, and record, I just think the Packers are better.
I think you say it right now. So we're dealing with this from a week to week.
Yes, it's fluid. It's fluid.
I mean, it's fluid. So it's week to week.
See? You got this.
No, it's fluid.
It's fluid. That's what he said.
And they're going to continue to just keep getting better. And I agree with you, Mina. The Green Bay Packers are not the same team that we saw in week one. Joe Barry did a terrific job defensively against the San Francisco 49ers. They came back at it. There's no question about it. You got Arizona that's sitting right there. That's not going to go away easily, although their games that they've won all came down to the last couple minutes in each one of those games, except Jacksonville. They pulled away in the end, but there was a little bit of a light struggle early on with them. I just think that the Dallas Cowboys, I know you don't trust Mike McCarthy, and a lot of people don't because he didn't win but one championship.
And he's archaic.
Well, you asked me if I do, Mina. Here's what I would say. By having Dan Quinn over there, I do more. I do more now. By having Dan Quinn over there, because having a defense that's going to grow, and it reminds me a lot of what your Seattle Seahawks had early on with him as a defensive coordinator.
We're going to bring Seattle into this. I like Dan Quinn. I love what he's done. I love what he's done with that defense. Well, here's my question for you. Here's my question for you,
Keith. Does it not remind you of a young Seattle team?
They look great. I mean, I wouldn't say great, solid. But here's my question for you, Keyshawn, about, again, Mike McCarthy and Dan Quinn. Does Dan Quinn manage timeouts? Were you watching at the end of the first half? Because what I saw was is a coach who continues to make strategic in-game errors, which is, again, why if we're looking at these margins and we're trying to decide between Green Bay and Dallas, who I view as 3-4 in this conference, don't know about your rankings, I really believe head coach is going to be the difference in the end.
Yeah, I know everybody wanted him to get the timeout, go for another 3 points, put some more points on the board before the half. But if his philosophy is, I'm satisfied with 27, even though we don't get the ball coming back out in the second half, if that's his position, then
bad
I don't
one.
Have a problem with it.
It's a bad
if that's
one.
His position,
I
it's
a grabby position.
It.
I do have a problem with it.
Listen, first of all, let me tell you something right now. Let me tell you how this is going to go down, Keyshawn, okay? Because we see the Cowboys right now, and I get Dan. Listen, I respect Dan Quinn, and I know the job that he did in Seattle years ago. I understand that, even though that was non-existent in Atlanta for some inexplicable reason. But nevertheless, we got to respect what we saw him do as a coordinator as opposed to head coach, because that's the position he's playing now with the Cowboys. But let's also acknowledge the reason why we're so high on him is because of how low we were on Mike Nolan last year and how awful the Dallas Cowboys defense was as a result of that.
But that's his job, to come in and fix it.
I understand that, and I'm saying it was an easy fix because everybody looked at it and said, first of all, what the hell was he doing there? Because the man hadn't been a defensive coordinator since 2014. You got him off the scrap heap when nobody in the league wanted him for 6 years, and you brought him on as your defensive coordinator, Mike McCarthy. So you corrected that error probably because Jerry Jones made you. You brought in Quinn. We understand that Parsons, Diggs, and these boys, you've got some potential. But in the end, here's the reality. You're playing against suspect competition. I want to bring that up because as the season progresses and you're accustomed to playing a certain level, you can speak about this Mr. Super Bowl champion. You got guys that are on this level.
So
and then all of a sudden, it's like this. And guess what? I'm betting that the Dallas Cowboys ain't going to be able to handle that, and they're going to fold because of it when the season wanes.
Mina, I just heard him say suspect competition.
Yeah, that.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers is not suspect competition. Going
not
on the road.
Neither are the Chargers.
Going on the road against
already.
The Chargers
going forward.
Is not
I think that's right. I think we're overreacting a little bit to what we saw out of the defense last night. That Eagles offense is not good. But, Key, I want to know your top three because you're arguing with us, but I don't
three?
Know who your top three are. Yeah.
My top three is I got the Rams at one, the Bucs at two, despite if they would have flipped.
No, you're right. You're right.
And then three. Trying to think who I had at third. I did my list this morning.
Packers.
Look at you, man.
I'm trying to think who I had at three.
Uh-huh. It ain't the Cowboys.
It's not Dallas,
remember
right?
That. No. Cowboys, I got them at 10. Top 10. I got them at 10.
Okay.
I got them at 10.
Okay. Okay.
So, and then I think I might have had Arizona. Okay. Yeah, I had Arizona.
Mina?
I had Arizona at three just because of the spectacular Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, Keyshawn.
What?
Mina, stay with me for a second. Let me read your schedule, because I'm going to read your schedule, because you ain't got your computer for me.
I don't need it.
I'm giving you
right
schedule. You didn't remember, did you? Listen up, man. Okay, here's the deal. So we got Carolina next week. We like the way they look. Sam Darnold looked a little better. That defense is no
could
joke.
Be a W.
But that'll be a W, right?
W.
We got the New York Giants.
Yeah,
this is a Cowboys
that's
schedule.
A w.
You got the New York
that's
Giants.
That's a W.
We got a road game at the New England Patriots.
That could be a W.
All right, we got a road game at Minnesota.
I don't like Kirk Cousins. That's a W.
Exactly. We got the Denver Broncos at home.
That could be a loss.
Oh, please.
No. That could be a loss.
Okay. We got the Atlanta Falcons.
That's a W.
At home. And then we got the road game against Kansas City on November 25th.
That could be a toss-up. May depend on how the Chiefs bounce back.
Okay. So look at that schedule
right there. What about 12,
right?
Here's the thing about the reason why Dallas and Green Bay are clearly 3-4, and you can put them in either order right now. I think Stephen A. and I agree. They're going to win their divisions, Key.
Yes.
Like,
you're
talking about
absolutely.
New Orleans and Arizona. Those are not the best teams in their divisions.
Right.
They're not going to win.
New Orleans,
you got a quarterback who is inconsistent. I love that defense, but you know that Sean Payton's butt was clenching. When Jameis threw up that touchdown, you know it.
Well, he was trying to throw out
and
the
then in Arizona, you got a team that's a shanked field goal away from losing to the Vikings. So I just don't see how you could have either of those teams over Dallas and Green Bay.
No, I believe that Jameis is going to continue to get better. The defense is going to get better. They get Michael Thomas back. I don't know that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is all of a sudden going to steamroll the division. I understand they won the Super Bowl. That defense is not playing great right now. I think you could agree with me on that.
Yes, I do.
And then Arizona.
They've got some injuries, though.
As you know, Mina, every single year there's one team that comes out. It just happens like that. Arizona, it might just be their time. As much as I fight the air raid offense, it might just be their time to make some noise.
Look, just be safe with it. The Cowboys are a top three team in the NFC in week three.
Okay. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Good day. Welcome back to First Take. Coming to you from the Seaport, presented by Heineken. Oh, it's that time. Oh, yeah. Is it an A-list? Is it a B-list? Yeah. Is it a C-list? Yeah. Get hyped. Get hyped. Week three. Yes. Let me protect him. It's fluid.
Yeah.
It's fluid.
What's going on, y'all? What's going on? Keyshawn, Jeff Saturday. Are you ready for the list? Y'all know what time it is. It's Tuesday. It's time for my top five teams. Week three. Remember, the list is fluid. Okay? What happened in week one and two ain't got nothing to do with week three. All right, this is about week three. We gonna get right to it. Number five on the list. Give it to me. Bam! The Cleveland Browns. Why? After struggling week one, we've seen what they've been able to do over the last couple of weeks. That defense is real. We saw how they slaughtered Justin Fields. We see Miles Garrett. We see Jadeveon Clowney. We see the defense literally up in the ante and improving their level of play. Baker Mayfield isn't making mistakes. The running game is just superb with Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. These brothers are big time. Odell Beckham Jr. is back as well. Excuse me, the Cleveland Browns. I got to give them some love. All right, give it to me, please, number four. Give it to me right here. Bam, the Arizona Cardinals. Why am I looking at the Arizona Cardinals? I don't see them losing games. I still see Kyler Murray doing his thing. I still see D-Hop doing his thing. I see that defense with J.J. Watt, with Chandler Jones and the crew still doing their things. They're defeated. They're playing ball. Right now, we're looking at them in the NFC West. We got to pay attention to what's going on. Give them the love and respect they do. I see Jeff Saturday smiling. He was surprised by that. I am sick to my stomach, but damn it, I'm a fair-minded individual. Number three on the list. Give it to me,
the
please.
Cowboys.
Bam! The Dallas Cowboys. Yes, me, Stephen A., put the Cowboys as a top three team in the NFL. The offense is surreal with Dak. You got CeeDee Lamb. You got Amari Cooper. Did you see Ezekiel Elliott running the football last night? Looks faster, hitting the holes, hitting the gap pretty quickly. Okay, we know what a superb blocker he is as well, which helps in pass protection. And on the defensive side, Micah Parsons going into the defensive end slot, rushing the passer, trying to look like the second coming of Lawrence Taylor. Maybe eventually, who knows, doubt it, but we'll see. And of course, this kid, Trayvon Diggs, not Stephon Diggs, the wide receiver in Buffalo, but his brother, Trayvon Diggs. This brother can play. I got to give him love. The defense is upgraded. We see Dallas beat the Chargers. Now we saw them manhandle the Eagles. We saw them nearly beat the Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm giving them respect. That should make Keyshawn happy, who's got this perpetual frown on his face all the damn time. Let's go to number two on the list, please. They ain't these brothers. It's the Green Bay Packers. Why?
Whoa.
Because he's a bad man. That's why. And Devontae Adams is a bad brother, too. And oh, by the way, when you got Aaron Rodgers throwing the football like that, you got Aaron Jones running the football like that, you got Devontae Adams catching the football like that, whatever defensive deficiencies you might have, if there's anybody that can cover them up, it's the Packers. And number one on the list, number one, give it to me. The Los Angeles Rams. I did this because Keyshawn loves his people in Southern California. Okay? I did this because Matthew Stafford can ball. I did this because the combination of him and Cooper Kupp looks pretty elite right now. Not to mention the play calling of Sean McVay. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you got Aaron Donald, you got Jalen Ramsey and the crew. I know that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers ain't top five. Why they're not in my top five? You can't get slaughtered like that against the Los Angeles Rams and be in my top five. You can come back because the list is fluid. But for week three,
fluid.
We gonna go with this list. I got the Rams, the Packers, the Cowboys, the Cardinals, Cardinals and the Browns. That's Stephen's A-list for week three. What's up, fellas?
Oh, man, you nickel slick with this. You real slick. Because you keep talking about fluid. Yeah. Fluid this, fluid that. First of all, Jeff, there is no Buccaneers. They no lost the game, but you can't tell me they're not a top five.
Weren't they number one on your list?
You
last
don't go from one to nothing.
You went from one to out.
I don't like how they lost. I don't like how they lost. I don't like how they lost.
Another team that's not on the list, the Las Vegas damn Raiders.
Oh, undefeated.
Please, them squeezing by Miami with the Jacoby Brissett.
What's going on? What is that?
Excuse me. Excuse me. I've been hyped on a Cardinals for a season. Understand that.
And the Buccaneers should have beat them, but the
field goal
missed a 28-yard or whatever that nonsense was.
So you still got the top four. Where are the Raiders at?
Where are the Bills?
I'm not that.
Where are the Bills?
Excuse me. The Bills had two bye weeks. One was against Miami. One was against Miami that has no quarterback. And the other was against Washington that has no quarterback. I'm not giving it to the Bills yet.
The Cardinals didn't get a bye?
Huh?
They didn't get a bye?
Jacksonville?
Oh, yeah. Jacksonville. I understand that, but I've been high on the Cardinals.
I need to hear your logic about why the Raiders aren't in your top five, because it's crazy.
First of all,
it's almost like you don't even know football when you do this.
Don't be disrespectful. Okay, first of all, here's the thing. Monday night, you squeeze by the Ravens. That was an incredible game. I give it to you. Then you go up against the Steelers. Don't get me started with how bad my Steelers are looking. I'm already depressed. They even played my funeral music last week. Okay.
But you didn't feel that way when the Steelers beat the Bills.
And then this past Sunday, you got Miami. You don't have a quarterback. You got Jacoby Brissett. Throw in safety.
Jacoby Brissett.
I'm just saying. I'm looking at Miami right now. I don't like what I'm seeing. They don't look like a very good team right now. And you know what? That's how I look
this,
at it.
I'm just telling you this right here.
They
this
have
is
a very good
very
defense,
heavy,
Stephen A.
Very heavy NFC list right now.
This is very heavy.
Your favorite team for the last 3 weeks, you got them off because they played to your number one team and lost.
I don't like how they look.
I just want to make one note.
Kansas City, even though they lost to the Chargers.
Jeff, Stephen, we're being very rude.
The producer just asked me for notes, and I agree with everything your critics are saying, particularly not considering the quality of competition against Arizona. Is egregious. But since you do care so much about quality of competition, you can't leave the Bucks out after they lost to your number one team. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense. I know they lost, but look at the teams that they've already played, look at the caliber of the talent on that roster.
You don't go to Southern California and look like Mina.
You know how he gets away with all of it? It's fluid, Mina.
Hey, Mina, when you talk about quality of competition, these jokers beat the Lions, man. Let's not go to quality of competition.
They beat San Francisco.
Is San Francisco really like that?
I think San Francisco is really
like that. That's a good squad.
I think San Francisco's better than the Raiders. If it's so fluid, how are we not considering the Bills who just curb stomped?
I love Mina.
I love her being on the show. She's fantastic. But I'm getting sick and tired of her jumping on me with y'all. Like, let me tell you something, Mina. I'll deal with you in a second because of your Seattle Seahawks. Okay? But let me say this to you. When we talk about the Buffalo Bills, you go against Miami, and then you go against a football team that don't even have a name. They don't have a name. They ain't got a mascot. They ain't got a quarterback.
Oh, my word.
I mean, stop it, y'all.
They lost on a fluke. They lost on a fluke to the Steelers because their special teams weren't ready. That's egregious. That is egregious. You have a largely heavy NFC team without the Bucks.
Let's be honest. We all know
the Chiefs would wipe the floor with like three of these five teams.
Thank you.
Even though the Ravens needed a 68-yard field goal, whatever.
Against the Lions. Why am I doing that?
But you got them up there.
Did you see Aaron Rodgers? Did you see him? I mean, come on, man. Come on now.
I guess.
Stephen A., you got a C-. Do you want a chance to redo this? Do you want to lower the Packers, and do you want to add some teams
back in?
I'll give you an opportunity to correct the error of your ways if you'd like to. Molly, I love that about you.
That's what good teachers do. We allow you to take your test again and
it's
put real answers back on it.
I'll be back
next week. We're trying to improve you.
I'll be back next week. I'm not taking it. It's fluid.
Yeah.
All right.
That was fun.
I'm starting to wonder about that football knowledge, man.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Staying out west, not sure who saw this coming, but entering week four, it's the Cardinals and Rams who are sitting on top of the NFC West and the Seahawks at the bottom. According to ESPN FBI, Seattle just has a 6% chance to make the playoffs after their 1-2 start. Mina Kimes back here with us. And I seem to remember someone going off about how good the Seahawks were. Stephen A., do you remember who that was?
Yeah, I remember. I remember it was me. You know, love having her on, was excited that she was going to be on the show with me and stuff like that, Key. And she just went all in on me and was like, you know, the Seahawks, watch what they do this year. And I'm like,
are y'all really going there in three games?
You know, I'm just saying, oh, why?
That's a great point.
Because I'm with Mina, though. I think Seattle will be all right.
Go ahead. I'll let Mina go first. Go ahead, explain yourself.
Alliances are shifting. It's hard to keep track. It's like Survivor. Okay. Stephen A., you know I watch a lot of tape. I suggest you roll back the First Take tape of when we had this debate because it wasn't about how great Seattle was. I always had the Rams winning the division since the summer.
It was about
who has higher upside, Seattle or Pittsburgh. Yeah. You're smiling because you know I'm right. And let me ask you this.
You got me.
Who's got higher upside?
Let me answer that for you.
It's definitely Seattle.
It's Seattle. Simple and easy. I answer that for you.
You ain't got to
that was slick. Back. She You're just flipped that
she,
on you.
She flipped it. She's
brilliant. I will say.
I got it. And Keyshawn just jumping in to help us. It's all right.
Okay. I got to eat a little crow. I do got to eat a little crow, Stephen. I will say I was too optimistic about Seattle. I will say that. The defense has been worse than I thought. I don't blame the offense for much. They have had some second half implosions. Yeah, game script has really messed with them on offense. The defense has been an abject disaster, frankly. And you've seen the meltdown now twice. I think we realize now that the Colts offense is just simply not good at all. They can't cover major issues in the secondary. It's a simplistic scheme. And if this team wants to compete for a wild card spot, I do not think they have a chance at winning the division right now, given how the Rams are playing. They got to get something fixed on defense. They got to get more of a pass rush. So they do have serious issues, but Pittsburgh's got bigger issues. That's all. I still love your quarterback, Mina, for what that's worth.
Listen, here's the bottom line. When you look at the Seahawks right now, I mean, to me, you shouldn't be having these problems. You really, really shouldn't. I mean, when you got Russell Wilson there, you got Tyler Lockett, you got DK Metcalf, you got Carson coming out of the backfield, you should be able to do some things. It should not be these kind of problems where you losing two games in a row. Even though it was to Tennessee and Minnesota, Minnesota was their backs. They had their backs against the wall, and we understand
that. They
came out fighting. We get all of that. But you see, Adam, you're supposed to be able to handle that. Something's different about this team this year.
They haven't been the same since the Legion of Boom, though, defensively.
I know that.
And Ken Norton Jr. is – you know, trying to settle in as a defensive coordinator, mainly calling the defensive plays and not getting any help from anybody else.
Okay.
Well, all right. I was going to say, you should be getting help. Pete Carroll, your calling card is defense. That is what you bring to this team. I think ultimately accountability does end with him and also the front office because they just haven't had very good drafts defensively. I'm calling out Seattle. Listen to me. Okay. I'm not a homer. I'm saying this defense is a major issue going forward. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't wrong when I came on your show.
Mina, how about this alternate reality for your team? Okay, stay with me. Where the Seahawks have LeBron James suiting up. It could have possibly happened, according to King James, who stopped by the Manning Brothers Monday Night Football broadcast. Take a listen, y'all.
Jerry Jones offered me a contract. Also, Pete Carroll did as well in Seattle during our lockout time. And it definitely got my blood flowing again, got my mind racing again, thinking about the game of football, you know, being out there on Sundays. But you know, we was able to get a deal done in the NBA, and I was back on the court in no time. But I definitely thought about it. I still got the jersey, too, that Jerry and Pete Carroll sent me from 2011.
Stephen A., he's one of the GOATs for sure in the NBA, but how good do you think he would have been in the NFL?
I think LeBron James is on the Mount Rushmore of basketball, one of the greatest athletes and clearly one of the greatest basketball players who've ever lived. I don't think he would have lasted more than a year in the NFL. I really don't. I really don't. If you see LeBron and maybe he engages in histrionics and a bit embellishment and just exaggerating, you know, injuries and things of that nature. But when this brother gets hit, particularly in the legs, he don't like it at all. And being that he's a legit 6'9", I think that LeBron James, the second those legs got hit, he would want no parts of it. And again, it ain't like he's some short dude. He's 6'9". So big those dude. Legs, those, he's a big dude, and those legs would be a prime, prime talk. They wouldn't think about hitting him high. Everybody would be trying to hit him low. And he would want no part of that, no way in hell. I don't think he'd last more than a year.
See, the thing is everybody look at LeBron James, Mina, as LeBron James. Greatest basketball player possibly to ever live, right? Mm. But that's basketball, okay? That's just, I get it. You're trying to make a transition from the NBA court to the football field in the middle of your NBA career. Not from high school to college to the pros, or not from college to the pros, or not from college basketball year, or pro basketball year then to the pros in football. LeBron James doesn't know what it feels like to get hit in the chin going across the middle. He has no idea. Because in high school, you're bigger, stronger, faster than everybody. Now that strength grows when you get to college, and it grows even more, as you know. Imagine Bobby Wagner catching him coming across the middle, a Cam Chancellor catching a 6'9", 275-pound, because he's going to have to be 70 pounds, 270, 265, whatever he is, coming across the middle, Mina. And the ball, your ribs are exposed.
Yeah.
Your ribs are, you outreach, Stephen A. They're all them little meaty ribs.
Yeah.
Oh, they exposed.
Oh, yes.
And them Bobby Wagners of the world, and them Cam Chancellors, and them Ronnie Lott,
you want no part
and them
that.
Young Sean Taylors. They looking,
Ronnie
they
Lott.
Looking for that.
I didn't this know we'd get a Ronnie not, Lott shout out today.
Yeah, but
love
you're not
that.
Getting, you're not, this isn't backing down
yeah.
a 7 foot, 200 pound, big in the NBA and dunking on it. No, no.
Yeah.
And I
love
LeBron.
This.
But it's a different, that's, it's just different.
I love that we get to end the show, or at least my time here, with a kumbaya moment, because I'm in total agreement with both of you. But not because of LeBron's body type, because people act like the tight end position is easy and that anyone can just, you always hear people saying, I just switch him to tight end. Oh, just post him in the end zone. It's a very complicated position. Your responsibilities, both as a blocker, even if you're used as a move tight end, are not simple to pick up on the fly. So the notion that any basketball player, much less LeBron James, could just leave his sport and easily walk into the NFL, it's just not realistic.
Here's what I would say would be an easy transition for him if he was to leave the sport, put his hand in the ground and go get the ball. Play defensive end, go get the ball. All I need you to do is sniff out the ball. If he had a fierce defensive mentality, he could have been one of the good ones at this spot.
My position,
sure.
My questioning of LeBron as a football player has zero to do with his talent.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about the willingness to absorb punishment.
It's different,
below
man.
The waist. You know, he don't want no parts of that.
Sport.
He don't want no parts
hey,
of that.
Hey, look, Stephen A. And he don't want no parts of a training camp where you are locked into a dorm for a month outdoors. Not an air-conditioned nice, we're going to Hawaii for training
camp. Well,
he did deal with that in the bubble, though.
He did deal with that in the bubble.
No, but it ain't the same, though.
Yeah.
Now, the bubble is different
right.
than being locked in a dorm room on a little bitty bed that's probably a twin
so
size bed.
You're saying
bed.
NBA players different. Are bigger divas. Okay. I get it.
I didn't say that.
That's
it's
exactly
different.
What you said.
That's
what you
different.
Said. And it takes a diva to know one, so it's all good. Mina, we'll see you on NFL Live later. Always
yes,
fun having
will.
You. Thank you for stopping
Thanks,
by.
Mina.
Bye, guys. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. We have a WNBA playoff doubleheader for you tonight with a pair of game one in the best of five semifinals. MVP Jonquel Jones and the top-seeded Sun host the Sky at 8 Eastern. Then it's the Mercury taking on Asia Wilson in the second-seeded Aces. Both games on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. One up, one tap. Back to the NFL, week three in the books, and there are five remaining undefeated teams in the NFL. Barring a tie, that number will go down to four with the Cardinals and Rams playing each other this week. The Raiders will have their hands full when they visit the Chargers. ESPN FBI gives them a 40% chance to improve to 4-0.
Yeah, Stephen A.
Are people too high on the Raiders?
I think so. I understand it, though, because football is great when the silver and black are relevant. It's been so long since they've been relevant that everybody's excited about them. And John Gruden, if we're being honest, it's been a long time since he's been relevant as a football coach. Somebody needs to say this, okay?
Real talk.
Now, I love John Gruden, the football analyst that did an exceptional job for us on Monday Night Football. I'm a fan of his in that regard. I like him personally, and I think that I understood when the Raiders wanted to go out and get him, because he does bring a mystique to the Raiders organization.
Yeah.
And that's undeniable.
It's a certain brand.
Right. But we keep forgetting that when he was in Tampa, after winning the Super Bowl, he went the last several years without making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay? We keep forgetting that, you know what? He's been in the playoffs like two times in 6 years as a coach before he got to Oakland and ain't been to the playoffs
before
since
he got to Tampa.
And ain't been to the playoffs since he got to Las Vegas. Oakland and then Las Vegas. So the reality of the situation is that this is a big year for John Gruden because he's got something to prove. Because when you sign for $100 million with incentives that elevate your contract to anywhere from $118 to $120 million, I mean, anybody else wouldn't have got this much time to get stuff right. So I would hope that you finally did. Having said all of that, Derek Carr's playing well. The offense itself, the running game has been virtually non-existent. But when you got eight different targets to throw the damn football to, passing the football, Derek Carr has been impressive right now. The brother, I'm looking at his numbers right here. He's completing nearly 65% of his passes. He's got six touchdowns, just two interceptions, all right? He's got this team rolling. I still got questions about them, but this is the thing. Before it was against the pass. Now they're suspect against the run, but they're defending the pass better. We'll see. I'm looking at this schedule right now. Basically, you beat the Baltimore Ravens. Don't get me started with how I'm feeling about my Pittsburgh Steelers. Of course, there's the Miami Dolphins, which is why I didn't have them as my top five. But as we move forward, this Monday night game against the Chargers, that's a big deal. You got a road game against Denver coming up. That's a big deal. I'll see that, and I'll change my mind. I'm not sold on them yet because I'm holding against them, being 6-3 last year. And then losing five or six and folding like they did. I want to see what they do over the next few weeks before I start legitimizing them in any
way. Well, I would say that's fair, Stephen A. There's no question about it. But yet and still, you got to think about how they won these games. You say, well, the Ravens, you know this, that, and the other. You know how I feel about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers was coming off a W against a team that everybody figured would challenge the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
And that would be the Buffalo Bills. So, naturally, you look at that and you go, well, Pittsburgh's a better football team. Or you look at the Raiders at home in an overtime battle with the Ravens, gave them everything they can get. But they didn't fold. In the past, they would fold. You dismiss the Miami Dolphins. But the Miami Dolphins was supposed to be a dominant football team in the AFC East. People were saying, is it Buffalo, is it Miami, depending on Tua. Tua's hurt, but Jacoby Brissett takes over. That's a wash. The line on gambling didn't even change. It went from like 4 to 3.5, or maybe even up to 4.5. I don't know off the top of my head, but if I can remember, it didn't change much. I think it's just different for the Raiders right now because of, much like you mentioned, a lot of this stuff. Carr's playing well. They, in fact, started to use Henry Ruggs.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the vertical game is there for the Raiders when it wasn't in the past. We know they got Waller. Jacobs is in the backfield. The defensive front is playing better. So I wouldn't just push them aside just yet. Give them a few more weeks and you're going to jump all the way over there.
I like Renfro and what I'm seeing from Renfro as well, because I think he's been an added weapon. And when you bring up Ruggs, I would tell you this. I said this yesterday about DeSean Jackson and how he elevates their vertical game. It's the same thing in Las Vegas. Ruggs elevates the Raiders' vertical game. And if that is legit, moving forward, okay.
All right. Raiders at Chargers Monday Night Football. Can't wait for that one. It's the game we've all been waiting for, though, the return. Teflon Tom back in Foxborough to take on Bill Belichick. Tom Brady Sr. made some news last week with strong comments about his son leaving New England, and Brady Jr. had this to say about it on Monday.
I've actually prepared a statement that I wanted to say, and it's really all that I have to say on the subject. Comments made by Thomas Edward Brady, a 77-year-old insurance company CEO who should know better at this point in his life, doesn't necessarily reflect the views or positions held by his son, Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. So furthermore, should Tom Sr. continue to speak out on behalf of his son without the express written consent, Tom Jr. reserves the right to eventually put him in a home against his will. That's all I have to say.
Listen, don't poo-poo being an insurance company CEO there, Brady, but I love this new sense of humor. Could you not really hear it?
Basically,
what he was saying is he put out this statement, like, saying to his dad, like, don't listen to his dad. He's 77, insurance company CEO, da-da-da.
He's going to put him in a home.
He's going to put him in a home if he keeps speaking, like, all that stuff. So just being tongue-in-cheek there. Key, but seriously, how much does Brady
owe? I don't even let you finish.
Okay.
All.
Okay, let me finish with the
people. I know, but go ahead.
Bill Belichick. How much does Brady owe Bill Belichick? Because people might be thinking his dad.
Oh, he owed everything to him because he discovered him. They passed on him a couple times, and so did other teams. But he discovered him. He gave him the opportunity and the chance to be successful. Okay, because he could have very easily said to himself, I'm going back to Drew Bledsoe, even though this young kid is winning me games. Because coaches, you know how they go. You don't lose your job by injury. You don't do that. Bledsoe gets knocked out of the game, and Tom Brady lives forever. At that point, he made a decision that this player that I took in the sixth round is better than Drew Bledsoe, and the rest was history. So you owe all your success to that organization for discovering you and giving you a chance when nobody else would. I mean, that's just me. Just me.
Here's where it gets tricky, Molly and Keyshawn. Keyshawn, I don't disagree with what you're saying.
Okay.
I really don't. Because when somebody discovers you and somebody found you and you come from an abyss into the limelight and they're responsible for that, I get where you're coming.
Yeah.
Here's my issue, though. When does payback arrive? If I've gone to 9 Super Bowls with you,
mm-hmm.
If I won 6, if I marched lockstep with you and did everything you asked me to do, and then some, and I took you to heights that were unseen, well, I paid back. And so at that particular moment in time, when do you recognize that a different day has arrived?
But that, that wasn't the question, though, right?
What I'm saying is, how much does Tom Brady owe Belichick? And what I'm saying is, at first year, maybe even 5-10 years in, yeah. But at some point in time, when I paid back with interest, with double interest, I've done all of these things your way, and I've done it for you. When do you recognize, hey, I don't owe this cat no more? I mean, this cat don't owe me anymore. If anything, I owe him because of what he continues to deliver for me.
But it works both ways. There's no question about it.
Okay.
Bill owes Tom, too, for continuing to develop and listen to him to grow into the quarterback that he was early on his career. We could have quarterbacked the damn Patriots to Super Bowls based on the defense and the style in which they played. The training wheels was eventually taken off. All I'm saying is, it's okay to give that man his praise for discovering when nobody else could.
Okay.
Think about it.
Okay.
Everybody else passed.
Got it.
You don't even know who went. The dude from Hofstra went in front of
Tom Brady. All I'm saying is don't forget that he did something for you, too.
I don't think he did.
That's all I'm saying.
I don't think
he did. Okay, I ain't saying he did. Just make sure.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.